It is February 28th, 2023, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first four stories today in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. CME Group Executive Chairman and CEO Terry Duffy has penned a commentary for the Financial Times titled, "Risk Management is the Alpha for a Time of Uncertainty." This is a very insightful and catchy title. The subheadline is, "After two decades of easy money, investors will have to manage portfolios with almost constant market challenges ahead." I particularly liked this paragraph from Mr. Duffy's commentary, which sounds like the wisdom we have come to expect from the long-serving CME chairman. Quote, "But not every idea is a good one, a sobering fact that was less obvious in the recent environment where the elevator only went up and everyone could seemingly get to the penthouse. Innovation needs a use case that demonstrates purpose, solves a problem, or creates a benefit. Without that, it is merely noise." Word has reached JLN that Mike Newsham has passed away after a brief illness. He was recently diagnosed with esophageal cancer, sources said. Newsham was ever present at any industry activity. He started his career with O'Connor & Associates. Rest in peace, Mike. The Wall Street Journal has kindly assembled a timely tax guide for 2023. One of the first things it notes is that for people who don't itemize the $300 for 2020 or $600 for 2021, ability to deduct for cash donations is gone. That helped charities during the pandemic. The John L. Keeley Jr. Center for Financial Services and the Department of Finance at DePaul University will hold a program titled "The Digital Transformation of Finance," featuring NASDAQ, Coinbase, Northern Trust, Wells Fargo, and fintech startups. I will also be making a few comments near the beginning of the program. The CME Group, through its strategic investment arm, CME Ventures, invested in Chemiex. Other investors are DTN and the family office Will Finance. Chemiex AG is a specialized, fast-growing provider of procurement, sales, and intelligence platforms for physical raw materials. On December 26 and 27, 2023, Prime Finance will hold its 10th annual general meeting at the Peace Palace in The Hague, the Netherlands. Prime Finance, based in The Hague, has been established to assist judicial systems in the settlement of disputes on complex financial transactions. Its management board is chaired by Robert Pickle, former CEO of the International Swaps and Derivatives Association, ISDA. The Association for Financial Markets in Europe, AFME, yesterday sent out a message following the announcement of a political agreement on a Northern Ireland protocol deal. Adam Farkas, chief executive of the Association for Financial Markets in Europe, commented, "AFME strongly welcomes the agreement reached today between the EU and the UK. This should now unlock formal regulatory cooperation in the area of financial services based on the joint declaration accompanying the EU-UK Trade and Cooperation Agreement. It is crucial that both sides now activate the Memorandum of Understanding to establish regulatory dialogue and enable enhanced cooperation and coordination, including allowing for regular exchanges on trade and market access issues, as well as equivalence provisions. Man Group has published its results for 2022. They are impressive, outperforming peers, growing assets, yada, yada, yada. Paul Whiteman has been promoted to the role of Senior Director in the Research and Product Development Group at the CME Group. Blake Brockway is starting a new position as Associate General Counsel Futures Swaps at TP ICAP. Brockway has also served at OCC and NFA. Yesterday, an hour after JLN was published, the emergency storm warning alarm in Elmhurst went off as we were under a tornado warning. Two tornadoes touched down, one in Joliet and another one near Naperville. This massive storm later triggered storm alarms near Indianapolis, near where Patrick Lothian lives, and this same storm is headed to the northeast U.S. and prepared to deliver to New York and parts of New England the largest snowstorm of the season, NBC News reports. There is an auction of unique Chicago assets going to the market that start at the ground floor and jump to championship levels. Michael Jordan's championship Air Jordans, one from each Chicago Bulls championship game, are going up for auction. Here's your chance for some sneaker art, but the auction is in Dubai today, the Wall Street Journal reports. Trading Technologies has partnered with Bantix Technologies, an options software development company, to make QuickStrike Bantix Options Analysis software application available via the TT platform. The move allows TT users trading listed derivatives, including options on futures, such capabilities as options pricing, sophisticated analytics and data retrieval, historical volatility tools, risk analysis, and more. Brokers and traders will be able to access the QuickStrike interface through TT via a single click. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. We have an entry from Options Discovery. Intro to the OIC, OCC, and how to analyze volatility. Matt Cashman, experienced trader and principal of investor education at the OIC, explains these concepts in part one of this Options Discovery full interview. In this Options Discovery full interview, Alex Ting sits down with Matt Cashman, principal of investor education at the OIC, to discuss Matt's background, the OCC, and volatility. To learn more about the OCC and to access their host of free options tools, go to optionseducation.org. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's Options Discovery Episode 14, Volatility Analysis. OIC's Matt Cashman breaks down the relative value framework with JLN's Alex Tang. In this episode of Options Discovery, Alex Tang introduces the concept of the relative value framework and volatility analysis. Alex also speaks with Matt Cashman, principal of investor education at the OIC. Matt explains implied and historical volatility and how to use the relative value framework to analyze options. To learn more about the OIC and access their host of free options tools, go to optionseducation.org. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from the Financial Times, as referenced earlier. Risk management is the alpha for a time of uncertainty. After two decades of easy money, investors will have to manage portfolios with almost constant market challenges ahead. By Terry Duffy. Well, it was fun while it lasted. Two decades of easy money with low to zero interest further juiced by successive rounds of ever larger stimulus spending, turned prudent investing principle on its head. Scores of novice investors flocked into the markets with the belief that buying every dip was a masterclass strategy to guarantee profit. That's understandable when there is only upside. It's easy to be fooled into thinking flash can replace knowledge and that gimmicks can substitute for discipline. My comment: Terry Duffy is the alpha dog of risk management. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Thomas Lee is remembered by Milken Kraft as Wall Street trailblazer, the private equity pioneer who died last week by self-inflicted gunshot wound evokes memories of being generous with both his time and money. Thomas H. Lee began his senior year of Harvard setting up a table with the sign, "Meet Tom Lee." That was his novel presence at registration day for extracurricular clubs like chess, Shakespeare, and astrophysics. Lee, according to family lore, was looking for a girlfriend, and, the story goes, found one. Inevitably, he also put himself out there to gather interesting and interested people, the kind who'd approach such a booth with optimistic curiosity into his orbit. My comment: I have a cousin named Thomas Lee, so I always paid attention to this Thomas Lee. My Tom Lee, son of my mother's late sister and husband John Lee, is a distant relation to Robert E. Lee, the Civil War general of the Confederacy. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Downtown Chicago now has more residents than before the pandemic. Loop's population is estimated to have grown 9% since 2020. Future of downtown will be more residential, Loop Alliance CEO. You wouldn't know it from the empty streets on a Friday morning, but there are now more people living in downtown Chicago than before the pandemic. The number of residents in the Loop, as the city's central business district is known, grew by almost 9% since 2020, according to estimates from the Chicago Loop Alliance. My comment: I'm just wondering if they're counting people or rats. Here's a story from Crane Chicago Business. Fed says overvalued commercial real estate poses risk to financial system. Worries about empty office towers have reached the Federal Reserve, which has warned that ongoing problems in commercial real estate threaten the stability of the financial system. My comment: there has always been so much bloviation in commercial real estate that given the pressures they are under now, it has to be that much worse. Buildings will give you months of free rent so they can say their average paid rents are so much higher. There are so many games they play to manipulate the numbers so things look better than they actually are. Here's a story from The Telegraph. China should pay reparations if COVID leaked from a lab. It might have been a moment of carelessness. It might have been a rogue worker, or it might have even been done deliberately. Whatever the explanation, there is a growing belief within security, intelligence, and medical circles that COVID-19 escaped from a laboratory in Wuhan. 3 years of lockdowns, an estimated 6 million deaths, and a shattered global economy may all have been caused not by a horrific accident involving food markets and bats, but because a virus broke out of a lab and infected humans. My comment: you could never prove this to the Chinese government beyond a reasonable doubt, and even then I doubt they would believe it or accept it. Here are the top three stories from Monday's JLN. Our most clicked story on Monday was the job posting for manager of corporate communications at the CME Group. Second was a tie between the memoir by the late Joe Sullivan from Cboe's historical collection and Goldman Sachs Has Lost Its Way, subtitled The Wisdom of Solomon's Strategy Will Be Weighed by Investors, from the Financial Times. Third was Arming Ukraine, How War Forced the EU to Rewrite Defense Policy, also from the Financial Times. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. First, from the Wall Street Journal, the headline: CFTC picks former cybercrime prosecutor as enforcement chief. Ex-Manhattan prosecutor's experience points to commission's growing focus on digital asset risks. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission hired a former cybercrime prosecutor who oversaw some early federal cases involving cryptocurrencies as its enforcement chief, the latest example of regulators adapting to the risks posed by digital assets and other financial innovations. In his new post, Ian McGinley oversees a team of 120 civil enforcement attorneys who investigate fraud and misconduct in futures markets tied to energy and agricultural commodities, as well as the newer world of digital assets that qualify as commodities, CFTC Chairman Rostam Benham said Monday in an interview. And then here's a press release from the CFTC. Chairman Rostam Benham announces veteran federal prosecutor Ian McGinley as enforcement director. McGinley arrives with significant experience in commodity fraud, crypto, and cyber enforcement. Commodity Futures Trading Commission Chairman Rostam Benham today announced that longtime federal prosecutor Ian McGinley will serve as the agency's director of enforcement. McGinley's arrival supports the chairman's continued focus on aggressively monitoring and policing commodity markets at a time of heightened stress and volatility. Emerging digital threats to financial markets, including cryptocurrency frauds, cyber-enabled financial fraud, and cyber attacks. Mr. McGinley spent more than a decade as a prosecutor at the United States Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York, SDNY, where he co-led the Complex Frauds and Cybercrimes Unit, and also served as a senior member of the Securities and Commodities Task Force, among other positions. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. SPACs shift to more obscure exchanges to keep deal dreams going. Struggling SPACs that are facing a broad investor desertion are moving their listings to smaller exchanges in an attempt to keep alive their hopes for eventually cutting a deal. At least seven special purpose acquisition companies have downshifted to stock exchange with more lax requirements this year after the vast majority of investors pulled out their money. That means blank check firms with less than a minimum number of publicly held shares or a smaller investor base can survive. And then we have one more story, this one from the Wall Street Journal. As Americans work from home, Europeans and Asians head back to the office. Return to office rates in Paris and Tokyo have climbed over 75%, while U.S. often sits around half. While U.S. offices are half empty 3 years into the COVID-19 pandemic, workplaces in Europe and Asia are bustling again. Americans have embraced remote work and turned their backs on offices with greater regularity than their counterparts overseas. U.S. office occupancy stands at 40 to 60% of pre-pandemic levels, varying within that range by month and by city. That compares to a 70 to 90% rate in Europe and the Middle East, according to JLL, a property services firm that manages 4.6 billion square feet of real estate globally. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.